If you have your Bibles, we're going to go tonight to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter number 1. And I want you to, there's a paragraph that I want to read tonight in the latter part of John chapter 1, starting at verse number 35. And I'm going to read down through verse 42. I was glad to be in service this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I am glad I've got a great Savior.
Amen.
A great Savior.
Amen.
A wonderful Savior.
Oh, yeah.
He's so great, so wonderful. He's so good to us.
Amen, preacher.
I'm thankful tonight to be here. Look at verses 35 and down to verse 42. If you're online, I ask you to share this service tonight. I'm going to give you my heart tonight. I just want to preach my heart to you. And hopefully I can reach your heart. Hopefully I can say something that will encourage you to share your faith. Because sharing our faith is why God left us here. Somebody say amen. Let's look at verse 35 of John chapter number 1. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I think I'll read that again. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. I'll do it again. And they heard him speak, and they followed Jesus.
Amen.
Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard Jesus speak and followed him, or heard John speak, excuse me, and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Here's what I'm preaching tonight. I want to speak on this subject, Jeff, and you deacons. The heart of a soul winner. The heart of a soul winner. Proverbs says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Whether we're doing that or not, we're all called to do that.
Amen.
Here's the problem I think I see today in our Christianity. We want an entertainment-based Christianity.
Amen.
A user-friendly Christianity. But the Christianity of the New Testament was not user-friendly. It wasn't based on entertainment. It was based upon giving the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be honest with you, you'd have never heard about Jesus unless somebody told you. I remember a story about a man, a young man, his name was Edward Kimball. How many's ever heard of him? Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. And he had the honor of having a young student in his class named D.L. Moody. Edward Kimball led him to Christ and discipled him. And then D.L. Moody went to England and taught another young man there. His name was Frederick B. Meyer, or F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer got saved under the influence of D.L. Moody's preaching. And F.B. Meyer came back to the United States and preached and influenced an old ball player drunk named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was saved by the glorious grace of God. And then Billy Sunday was having a big tent meeting. And there was a young man there named Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was saved and influenced by Billy Sunday. So Kimball influenced Moody, and Moody influenced F.B. Meyer, and F.B. Meyer influenced Billy Sunday, and Billy Sunday influenced Billy Graham, and that's just exactly how the gospel spreads. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, who's one of the subjects of our text tonight, preached to a multitude of people, and 3,000 people got saved at one time. Here's how it works. One person telling another person that Jesus Christ is mighty to save. Actually, it's one beggar telling another beggar where he can find some bread. If you're going to have to be a soul winner, there's four things, or have a heart. Oh, I could get up here, Allison, and shame everybody and say, you're a heathen if you don't win souls, and you're a heathen if you don't pass out tracts, and you're a heathen if you don't influence somebody. And what good's that going to do you unless your heart is right with God, unless you have a heart for souls? That's what's wrong with a lot of Christianity today. And some of my Baptist friends, they try to beat people over the head when they need to encourage them and teach them how to have a heart for God. So here's how it works. Four things and I'll be done. First of all, it involves a personal relationship with Christ. It's hard to win somebody when you ain't saved yourself. And you ain't going to have no desire to win nobody if you ain't saved yourself. Because see, when I got saved, I don't know how you done it, but I wanted to tell everybody.
Amen.
Joe, I want everybody to know my faith.
Amen.
And everybody I saw, I told them. Because, see, I believe we need to have more than just what our Sunday school teacher told us. We need to have a personal relationship with God. You need to have your own testimony. By the way, I want all y'all to hear this. I know I'm born again. I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I tell you what else I know. I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. I tell you what else I know. I know if this earthly tabernacle dissolves, I have a building of God not made with hands. I want y'all to know something. I know I'm saved. And I want you to know, you'll never reach a generation for Christ without a personal relationship. And you know what's wrong? You know what's wrong? Our generation's lost that. You look on the internet, it's all manipulated Christianity. It's all pumping up and pointing to some person or some man or some organization. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about a man. It's not about a person. It's about Jesus. Amen. Am I preaching? See, I tell you what, I've had a personal relationship with the Lord. I tell you what, when I was first getting called to preach, I just tell y'all something. When I first get called to preach, Marguerite had a dog. She's always had a dog. I preached to the dog. When I first tried to win people to Christ, I won her dog to Christ 5 times. Well, I was scared to death of people at the time, so I just thought I'd practice on a dog. I tried her cat, and he clawed me. See, I want y'all to know, so I personally believe if you ever really get saved and have a personal relationship, you will not keep it to yourself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Boy, I tell you what. I mean, like, man, I tell you, he walks with me. He talks with me. I want you to know, I got something that's real. I just didn't get religion. I didn't get patted on the shoulder. When I repented, I got a personal relationship with Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you'll never have a heart for soul winning if you don't have it. Am I preaching? You say, well, I'm just not built that way. What do you mean you're not built that way? You talk to everybody else about everything. I'm just not built that way, Pastor. Well, I'm going to tell you, I didn't even know who Zacchaeus was that went up a sycamore tree. I didn't even know anything about God. I didn't even know the Romans Road, John's Road, or anything road. Only thing I knew was John 3:16, but I did know I had a story. And I know I was saved. And I know that started me off. Amen. Am I preaching? Let me give you a second thing. I'm moving. You know what's really sad? I could preach a sermon this morning, you'll shout it out. I'm preaching a responsibility sermon tonight. You. If he is our great Savior, he's worth telling about.
Amen.
Secondly, look at verse number 36 and 37. We need to have our priorities in order. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
My Bible said this. How many of you got this in your Bible? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You put Christ first, he'll take care of your career. He'll take care of your marriage. He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of your finances. He'll take care of your job. He'll take care of your house. So what happened in this text in verse 36 and 37? The Bible said that Andrew listened to John the Baptist preach. He heard John, but he followed Jesus. I want y'all to know that I'm going to say something to you. John Smith, I'm going to say this to you. I am not preaching to get my own crowd. I know some people that are. Oh, that's certain church. I'm not out to get my crowd. That's not what I'm in it for. No, sir. The Bible said, but when they heard John preach, they followed Jesus. This ain't about John Smith, this church. I've tried to be a faithful preacher. I've gave everything I've had for 46 years. The last 10 years of my ministry has been the most sparkling, wonderful years, and I'm glad that I'm going out on high when I do go out. It's just been wonderful. It just seems like God's been out in everything. And he just had his hand, and he had been the whole 36 before, but it just something's happened, Richard. In the last 10, 12 years, it's like God said, I think I'm going to use that place even more than I ever did before. And I want you to know something. God will use any place if a preacher ain't worried about one thing, getting the glory, and he wants God to get the glory. I really don't care who gets the glory. I'm not after it. Are you, Chad? We're not building a John Smith thing here. It's not a monument to me. No, no, it's all about Jesus. It's not even about Taze Valley Baptist. It's about Jesus. It's not about building programs and parking lots and budgets. And by the way, we're only building because we need to help more people. Can you imagine what God's done? When you go out and you go fishing, and sometimes I don't even have good bait, only just got a hook. Remember when they went out and they need some tax money? Threw the hook out and caught a fish. You said, how you raise money in a church? Get people saved, and if they get the real deal, they'll tithe, they'll give their missions, and they'll give their faith promise, and you don't have to yard sale, you don't have to hot dog sale. You can just serve God, and he'll supply the need. This is a miracle place. I'm glad I'm a good steward. I'm glad Brother Jared, he's tight, good steward. I'm glad our deacons are a good steward. Man, we've raised over $10 million in the last 8 to 10 years. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because we're not interested in ourselves. We're interested in people, and God will supply the need as long as you're doing right. Amen. You know what I do about our finances? I just pray about them every week. I don't know a thing going on in our financial department other than I know what the offering is on Monday and what it is at the end of the month, and then we put everything toward our building and to where the needs are. That's all I know. You say, why? Why don't you know more? I don't want to know more. All I want to know is I'm preaching the word of God. What I want to do is educate people. What I want to do is to get your priorities right. Amen. They heard John, but they followed Jesus. See, that's the pattern. Somebody help me preach. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're coming to church here for me, you're coming for the wrong reason. I want you to like my preaching. I want you to be motivated by me. But I ain't the reason you ought to be here. You ought not be here for any particular program. Why you ought to be here is this is a God-fearing church, a church that loves God, a church that preaches Jesus, a church that wants to reach out to the whole world. Amen. Amen. Because I'll be honest with you. If you're coming here just for me or anybody else in this room, just put a camera on Lois Gale or anybody in this church, John Smith, and put it on you, Lois Gale, for 24 hours a day. You think we wouldn't find something pleasing? Well, we're all messed up from the floor up. You don't look at me this morning. You don't look at him tonight. We need to look at Jesus.
Amen.
That's our priority.
Yeah.
Am I preaching?
Amen.
I know this is opposite of what you hear through most social media churches and most of these manipulating churches and this newfangled manipulation through music and entertainment and all this junk that's going around. They're always pointing to a man, but we're seeing them topple one by another. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to point them to Christ. Amen. We all right? Whew. Isaiah said there's a highway that leads to heaven. Matthew said it's a narrow way and a straight gate that leads to life. And we are to run the race. And by the way, if you're a runner, anybody here run? Any runners? We have some, but they're just not on church on Sunday night tonight. But we have some runners. You're not going to see them out there in a football uniform with pads on. Now they're going to get down as light as they can and run the race. And I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to run the race. Live our Christian life. You say, but there's people that talk about me and there's people that says bad things about you. Listen to me. Taze Valley Baptist Church is one of the number one targets in this area for the devil. You want to know why? Do y'all want to know why? Because we're about the only one left in this area that's preaching the word of God properly. And still teaching people about Christ. I'm preaching. Amen, preacher. Y'all good? I'm almost done. Number three, verse 38. Then thirdly, you got to have a personal relationship, right, Chad? Then you got to have priorities right. Right, Chad? And then verse 38, you got to have a proper view of who Jesus is. Whew. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master, where dwelleth thou? And he saith, come and see. I tell you the secret of soul winning is to have a proper view of Jesus. When you know who Jesus is, how many believe it changes how you worship?
Amen.
And I want you to know, if you don't get excited about your worship and your work, you'll never have a heart for soul winning. Man, I tell you what, I'm trying to get our folks to get into worship. Because see, if I can just somehow, Chad, if we can somehow to get all y'all to fall back in love with Jesus. Remember that first love? Remember it? I remember when Marguerite and I started dating. She's a good looking thing now, y'all. She's still good looking. She's 68 years old. She's precious. I want everybody to know who was in my arm. You know who that is? That's Marguerite, soon to be Smith. You know why? I was in love with her. You know what I think's happening in our churches? We've died out in our worship, and we're not as close as we used to be with God. And the result is, why tell anybody? We're not excited anymore. I want y'all to know this. This is not embellishment. This is not a fib. This is the truth. I've told those young preachers, I'm as fired up for God at 72 years old as I was when I was 27. I still got a heart for the men. Now, my body ain't. After the way I preached this morning, I had to get some oxygen. But I want you to know something. I haven't lost it. Because, see, I still worship. I worship by myself in the office. I worship going down the road in the car just all by myself. I just worship. And then if I'm going to worship like that, what it does, it causes me what to tell somebody about who I'm worshiping. Amen. Tell you what happened this week. I usually go out with one of the boys, but I went out by myself. Went to see my sister, went out to lunch by myself. And how many's ever had a good time by yourself? I was sitting at the table. Just thinking about the goodness of God. I just prayed and I was smiling and don't tell Marguerite, but I had a blondie on the side. That's over at Applebee's. And I don't go there except for one thing, blondies. And I was over eating my blondie and I was happy. And somebody just walked up to me. Here's what they said. Why are you so happy? Well, I've been eating this blondie and worshiping Jesus. And I'm not sure what the order was. And he said, you're really happy. And I handed him a gospel tract. I said, you can be happy too. I don't know if you're getting it. You got to have a proper view. If you're not worshiping, if he's not real to you, if he isn't everything to you, you ain't going to tell nobody.
Amen.
You ain't going to tell nobody. But if you really get under and God is all over you, you can't help but tell people.
Amen.
Am I preaching? I'm finished. Last point. Am I all right? Doing all right? Running well. I can't wait to this last point. Number four. If you have a personal relationship, Jeff, you'll have your priorities right, and then you'll have a proper view of Jesus. And then, verse 41, you'll have a passion for the lost. Amen? Look at verse 41, 40 and 41. And one of the two which heard Jesus or John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. You know what? I want you to witness to everybody. But I think you ought to start with your own family.
Amen.
I'll tell you how it started with me. I got saved. And I told my dad. I got called to preach. My dad come heard my first sermon. It was the most pitiful thing you ever heard sermon. He came at night and gave me his hand. Back then, we used to do stuff like that. If you like to be saved someday. And then my dad was one of my first 41 converts in my first revival. And I won him to Christ. And then I won my brother Buddy, my older brother, to Christ. You say, why? Because I didn't want to see my brother go to hell.
Amen.
And then I got my sister back in church. And she brought her lost husband. Y'all remember up in the old building. Bob, I thought it was going to take 100 years to get him saved. And God saved him. I want you to know something. Here's what Andrew did in verse 41. He sought his brother. And then he taught his brother. And then he brought his brother. Peter was not yet Peter. He was Simon. But Jesus saw potential in him. And Jesus saw possibilities in him. And Jesus saw a future for him. Now listen carefully. I'm finishing. Peter got the press. Y'all know what I mean by the press? But Andrew brought him to Jesus. Peter got the publicity. But it was Andrew that brought him to Jesus. Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. But it was Andrew that brought him to Jesus. You know what I've seen about Andrew? He didn't care that his brother got promoted and he didn't. Did y'all grab that? Wow. There's a man in this room. He's sitting back there with his lovely wife, Marie. His name's Andrew Billy Lamont. He's my Andrew. Bill Lamont brought me to Jesus. I'd have never preached one time, Bill, if it wasn't you for you bringing me to Jesus. I've never been able to be used to build a great church like this if you wouldn't have brought me to Jesus. Somebody help me preach. See, he brought Simon to Jesus. You know what? Andrew was always bringing somebody to Jesus. Remember when they were out in the desert and they were all hungry and Philip said, give them a report, we don't have much money. And it was Andrew that brought that little boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And God broke the bread and fed 5,000 men plus children. And it was Andrew that brought those Greek-speaking Jews that serves that we would see Jesus. You know what we need in this church? We need some more Andrews. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Just bring them to Jesus. How many of y'all believe there's power in the name of Jesus? Amen. How many believe there's salvation in the name of Jesus? How many of y'all believe there's joy in the name of Jesus? Healing in the name of Jesus? Deliverance in the name of Jesus? Hope in the name of Jesus? Peace in the name of Jesus? Contentment in the name of Jesus? Wholeness in the name of Jesus? Amen. Somebody might get promoted over you. But Peter never would have made to the day of Pentecost if it wasn't for Andrew. And Peter wouldn't have made it to the beautiful gate when he saw the crippled, said, silver and gold have I none but such as I have in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And Peter would have never made it to Cornelius' house and introduced him to the gospel if it wouldn't have been for an Andrew. Bill Lamont, you're my Andrew. Now, Bill's never preached any sermon except to me and Marie and the bus garage. But Bill Lamont is responsible for y'all having the pastor you have. He was responsible for that 27-year-old boy that came here when there was 80 people up in that old building on the right. You were here and a few others. And I had a vision. And God started saving. Saved really church members. First he saved 5 church members. Remember that? And God started blessing. And God started blessing. And I want you to know something. When we get to heaven, It ain't all going to be about the preachers. It's going to be about the Bill Lamonts, Susie's, the Brysons, that says, I want to give my life to helping somebody else meet their potential and find Jesus. You know what? You've been a faithful guy, Steve Cook. You've been my friend. You've stuck by me. There've been a lot of people not stick by me, Brother Steve. They cut my throat and stabbed me in the back. That's okay. I ain't complaining. But I'm glad for somebody like you. Gave your heart to running buses that we can run up there. They've been literally hundreds of people saved because of our garage crew keeping buses on the road. Somebody help me preach. Most of y'all is never going to preach. But you can be an Andrew. Most of you never going to be a missionary. But you can be an Andrew. Most of you are not probably going to write an article in the Sword of the Lord. But you can be an Andrew. Hey, Josh, there's some boys out there in your life that won't come near me because I'm a preacher and I scare them to death. But they know where you come from and you relate to them and you can be their Andrew. I wonder how many like to be somebody's Andrew. I wonder how many of y'all like to influence somebody to Jesus. You say, well, you tell me I had to come to Thursday night soul winning? Did I say one word about that? Did I say one word about that? Absolutely not. Did I say you had to come on Monday? I didn't even say that. What I say is, do you have a heart for souls? I wonder how many tonight would say, you know, I'll probably not be anything big in the Lord's work, but maybe I could be an Andrew. Maybe I could just bow and say, God, show me a Simon Peter. Show me somebody I can win. Maybe they'll be promoted and do something great. Stand with me as Lois sings for us. I wonder how many just come around the altar tonight and just say, you know what? I think I'd like to be an Andrew. I just want to influence somebody. I mean, just come around. Do you have somebody in your life that you want to influence? Won't you just come around and pray for? How many of you got an unsaved son or a daughter or a cousin or a friend? Why don't you come around tonight and just pray tonight. Our Father, touch our folks. Just give them a heart for souls. Give them a heart for reaching people. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you coming?